My eyes flew open and I slapped at it. It wasn't a bug bite. Nico stood beside me, a medical gun in hand. Struggling to focus, I brought my hand away from my neck to see a dab of blood. "What did you do?" I demanded. "Injected the red magic into you." "A safety measure," Lantos responded. I faced him, suddenly aware of the people present on the far side of the room, opposite the direction of the oracle where I faced. "What is this?" Two guards, one CISA and one military, slid between me and the elevator door. "This is your 1 o'clock." Cleon emerged from an office area near the other well-dressed men and women I didn't recognize. I looked from Lantos to him and back again. "You set me up." "For which I'm not too proud." Lantos lifted his mask. "But my end goals depend upon your cooperation. I need that portal open, and Cecilia refuses me every time I ask." "Cleon and I agree for once. The gate has to be opened." "Which leaves?" "You." Coldness slid through me. I stretched for the knife, focusing hard on him to keep the catnip from stealing my attention once more. Nico snatched my wrist and wrenched it behind me. "I figured you'd be armed," he said. I shook my head, too affected by the sense to fight him, when he lifted my dress to tear off the knife. It was all I could do not to float away. Nico steered me towards the others. The moment I saw the surgery table, I dug in my heels. "Tough luck, you little shit," he said, and shoved me forward. I caught myself on the cold, stainless steel and backed away. Nico pushed me forward again. This time, I stayed. My injured thigh was hurting, the pain battling the effects of the catnip. "For your third trial, you will fulfill your fate, Alessandra," Cleon said. "It's traditional for this to be the third trial of the Oracle, to submit to her place here, above the caverns." Never since learning of the trials did I suspect this was one of them. It was perfectly evil. In order to access my powers, I had to complete the trials. No god or man was going to risk me developing full powers and challenging them, but they needed them for the portal. The solution? To make the third trial enslave my power for them to use. "Oh, gods," I whispered, no longer wondering why Cleon waited to tell me his trial. "But you do have a choice." He motioned a team of surgeons forward. They wore masks over half their faces and surgical gowns. I reached for the gem at my neck. Adonis couldn't sense me with the shit Nico put in me, but I could still reach him. "Nico," Lantos moved forward quickly. "The necklace." Nico caught my wrist. He planted an elbow in my bruised ribs and I gasped. Before I could gather myself, he had yanked the necklace over my head and handed it to Lantos. "As I was saying, you have one choice," Cleon continued. "You can go the way of the Oracle." He pointed to the opposite wall. I was afraid to look. "Or you can try this new method I have developed that allows me access to your magic, without you ending up in pieces." This didn't feel real. I knew it was, but the smells were confusing me, making me feel like I was trapped in a dream. "Neither," I said. "We thought you might say this." Cleon glanced at Lantos. "I don't want to take this step, but I will," Lantos said, almost gently. "I know how to use this." He held up the gem. "I can call him back here. I won't harm him, but Nico and Cleon don't share my respect for the friendship I have with him." Coldness streaked through me at the veiled threat. "You would have your own friend killed. I threw him in with a typhon. What do you think? Lantos returned. It's for the greater cause. Adonis would understand. I searched his gaze, started to drift away, then shook my head and concentrated on his sparkling eyes. Images of Mismatch or Adonis being murdered by Nico played through my thoughts. I didn't want to care. I shouldn't have cared. I didn't owe Adonis anything. But the idea made me sick to my stomach. My Mismatch being hurt made my chest ache. He was a murderer, a man of untold depth and emotion, one I hardly knew. He's mine. It was as the little me of my dream had warned me. I couldn't hurt my own creation. I couldn't stand by and let him die either, not when my emotions were entangled with his. What is the alternate method? I asked hoarsely. It's simple, and fairly painless compared to our traditional methods. Cleon held up a microchip the size of his thumbnail. We insert this into your brain. It has been blessed by Dolas and enabled by his magic to undermine your ability to control your magic. The chip sends signals to me that a chip in my brain interprets and helps control. He tapped the back of his skull. This is a perfect marrying of technology and magic, requiring sums of money that would leave you staggering. We'd be connected, I said. Yes, I'd be in control of your magic, capable of opening the portal. In theory, Lantos added. Cleon ignored him. Your trial is to submit to your fate, either the microchip or by taking Cecilia's place. My eyes went to the table. I already knew I wasn't going to choose Cecilia's path. I didn't exactly love the idea of brain surgery or having a man like Cleon in my head with access to my magic. He'll have the power of a god, I said to Lantos. You're okay with that? It's a means to an end. Lantos winked. At least I don't have full access to it yet. I had yet to kill the Oracle, the trial tasked to me by the Silent Queen. I doubted Cleon knew of it, and I wasn't going to volunteer the information. I'll do it. The microchip, I said. This time, I didn't resist when Nico and his goons grabbed me and strapped me face down on the table. I began praying to Artemis and squeezed my eyes closed. Doctors with gloved hands moved my hair and shot me up with some medicine. This was the only choice. The Oracle's soft, sad voice was in my head as I began to fade into unconsciousness. At least you have a chance to survive, to murder him, to see yourself free of our cursed fate. I will hold out as long as I can to keep your full powers from emerging. Chapter 24. The High Priestess. I was mid-prayer, kneeling before the altar of Artemis, when the cell vibrated in the pocket of my robes. I ignored it initially, but today was Nico's day with the kid, which meant I was expecting a message about someone burning down the apartment building, or worse, Nico forgetting Tommy at the park again. Tommy carried a cell phone for that very reason. It had happened twice this year alone. Nico was good with his dogs, but kids were different. They couldn't be left alone. Excusing myself from the goddess, I rose, extinguished the candles before me, and bowed my head before breathing my last lungful of incense. I exited the temple on the compound where the Silent Queen's villa was located. I checked the phone. He's making his move against your boss, Nico had messaged. I stopped in place, coldness streaking through me. My eyes went from the villa, where the Silent Queen's elite guard was in clear sight, to the entrance to the underground caverns where the Oracle was kept across the compound. Sisa and military guards were gathered there, and a full platoon of the combined forces was marching in my direction. It didn't take me more than a split second to understand his warning. I activated the silent alarm. The politics and alliances among the triumvirate were constantly shifting. The Supreme Priest had been reluctant to side with the Magistrate fully about the Oracle's fate. The Silent Queen's stance, of course, was not to allow the traditional fate to befall her. From the text and approach of the cooperating security forces, Lantos had finally made his decision. "What's the plan?" I hurried towards the Silent Queen's home as I typed. Nika responded fast. "Not sure, but we're putting the Oracle where she belongs. Only way to stop these wars." "There's so much more at stake, you asshole." Fury filled me. Nico's arrogance and his blind allegiance to the Magistrate had always angered me. It was worse this time because he knew what it meant if Alessandra took her place, if she fell into the hands of the Magistrate. Rather, he knew what it meant to me. Nico had never cared about the bigger picture I tried on more than one occasion to share with him. He was more interested in the money paid him to enforce the Magistrate's will. I wanted so badly to pretend I didn't care, to expect the worst from Nico. But with Tommy between us, with the moments of kindness Nico showed his own son, I was weak, always ready to believe there was a shred of decency in the mercenary's heart, always willing to pray for Nico to become a good man so our son had a worthy role model. But Nico didn't have 1 ounce of goodness. He didn't care about leaving the world a better place for our son or anyone else. "What about Tommy?" I texted as I passed the guards. A servant opened the door for me. I dashed into the villa. "Phoebe!" I rarely broke protocol by calling her by her name rather than her title, but my instincts were screaming. I raced through the villa and shoved the door to her private bedchamber open. She was meditating next to a mini altar near the window. At my entrance, she rose, concern on her features. "What is it?" she asked. "We need to go, now. Remember the worst-case scenario?" The teen girl nodded and strode to her closet. I heard her change as I gathered the packs we'd prepared from under the bed. Whipping off my robes to reveal the uniform of a royal guard with an M patch on one bicep, I strapped and tucked weapons into every place I could. Gunfire broke out from the front of the villa as the security arms clashed. "Now," I called. The Silent Queen emerged from her closet, dressed practically as I'd taught her, and accepted the pack I handed her. I bolted out of the room. She followed. The front door was being smashed to pieces. We raced through the villa to the wine cellar, down the stairs, and into the darkness of the basement. "Rendezvous point at the walls," I snapped at the Royal Guard members present. "I'm blowing the cellar. You've got 90 seconds to vacate the villa, got it?" They nodded and ran. We'd all practiced for a quick exit many times, but my hands still shook, knowing this was it. This was the day the protection of Artemis we'd always enjoyed was going to be tested by the merciless intensity of Eris. The Silent Queen was halfway through the cellar, headed towards the secret elevator in the far corner. I paused as I went and triggered the bombs hiding in several of the kegs along the cellar. We had enough plastic explosives to level the entire villa, and an engineer had placed the explosives in such a way that would completely destroy the secret entrance to the underground world. Nico's text drew my gaze as I trotted to the elevator. "I'll take care of him. He's better off with me since you're in hiding anyway." I missed a step. Sometimes, in my anger and emotion, I forgot how shrewd Nico really was. He had survived the underworld, the monster arena, and the Supreme Magistrate with nothing more than physical strength and street smarts. Bullheaded, selfish Nico had been planning this. I didn't think it was possible it was a coincidence he asked for Tommy on this weekend, when he was close enough to the Magistrate to know his innermost plans. My ex was smarter than he let on, and that infuriated me more than anything. "Theodosia!" the Silent Queen signaled me. Shoving my emotions and phone away, I hopped into the elevator. "You remember the plan?" I asked her. "To the wall and out of here to our Virginia safe house." She nodded. The unflappable royal was pale. She was cutthroat of politics, but this was my area of expertise, keeping us alive and her from falling into the clutches of gods or men. The trip to the underground city had never felt so long. No sooner did we touch down and exit than fire flashed and a distant boom sounded overhead, as her home was destroyed. The city was a flurry of activity. As practiced, royal guards in civilian clothes greeted us. They surrounded the queen and started herding her towards the emergency exit. I raced through the crowds to Gus, my chief of operations during a crisis. "Gods, Gus, please tell me you got those wallbusters out this morning," I exclaimed as I burst into the active arsenal area. He stood overseeing his staff, checking out men and weapons as fast as possible. "Two," he said grimly. "We stopped when you triggered the alarm. They're on their way out of the city." "Two is better than none. Activate the training units and send out orders to liquidate all holdings and bring the cash here." He nodded, typing in the orders. "Dosia." I turned. Heracles stood frowning, watching the movement around us. My heart dropped to my feet at the thought of revealing that his adopted daughter was at the mercy of a man who wanted only to return things to the way they were. How would he react if I told him the truth? "What's going on? Is this a drill?" Heracles's sharp eyes took in everything. "No, it's not. Then what do you need me to do?" I considered. His size, training, and strength were advantageous, and he had the added bonus of raising a spirited teen girl with magic powers. "I need you to make sure the Silent Queen gets out of the city," I said finally. "To a safe house." "What's happened?" "The other two made their move," I said vaguely. "She's in danger, and our plans just got moved up." "What are you not telling me?" He was studying me closely. "Is Alessandra safe?" Gazing up at him, I couldn't find the heart to lie to him. "No, she's not. But they won't kill her like they will Phoebe. I'm staying here because..." He started to protest, and I raised my hand. "Because I know the city, Heracles," I said firmly. "I know the players, the danger, and the best way to help her. If you want to assist us, go with the Silent Queen. She is Alessandra's best hope of surviving this. Dosia, please." I rested a hand on his chest. The warmth of his skin reached me through his t-shirt, and I found myself pausing at the intimate sensation, once more experiencing attraction I shouldn't. Shaking off the thoughts, I continued. "Artemis has plans for Alessandra. I will stay to ensure those plans come to fruition. But this is about to become a war zone. I need you out of here. I need the Silent Queen alive for us to succeed. Please." I saw the torment in his eyes, the same in my heart when I realized how true Nico's words were. My son was safer with him, under the protection of the Magistrate of Military, than he'd ever be with me down here, now that the next stage of our struggle had begun. "I will see her to safety, and then I will return," Heracles said at last. "War or no, I will not leave my Lyssa in the hands of these monsters." "Fair enough." I didn't have time to argue or negotiate. "Gus, call if you need anything." He nodded. "Heracles, come with me." I jogged through the armies mobilizing for battle beneath the city towards the exit where the Silent Queen would await me. She and her small force of elite guards stood at the foot of the wall, and her eyes were on her phone. I approached her and saw the tightness around her eyes, the sorrow in their depths, a rare sign of emotion from the Queen of Stoicism. "What is it?" I asked immediately.
"Lantos sends his love and his apology for betraying me. How am I to take this?"
I squeezed her arm, aware of the affair between them no one else knew about. "You were to survive. Always survive."
"He says the magistrate will turn Alessandra against us. He suspects what we've been doing."
"And Lantos? Is he going to tell what he knows?"
"He says not."
"Like I trust that rat bastard." I waved Heracles over. "I'm sending Heracles with you. Extra security." The Silent Queen squared her shoulders and lifted her chin, all emotion gone. Even so, I knew the depths of her emotion for the Supreme Priest. Years ago, he had brought me to her to become her mentor, and seen to it I had the training and skills to protect her. He had loved her far longer than she loved him, but it didn't make the intensity of her feelings any less. Neither of us really ever thought he'd go this far as to lash out at her. But it fit. No member of the triumvirate was any less ruthless than the next when it came down to it. If Lantos were in the Queen's way, she'd order me to take care of him, no matter how much it hurt her. We were alike in this. The greater good, our higher calling, meant more than the life of any one person.
"It's an honor," Heracles said softly. "I swear on my life I will see you to safety."
She nodded her head in a simple bow. "Go. Don't look back. Ditch your phones and any other electronics," I instructed her. "Heracles, you kept Alessandra safe and hidden for 12 years. I need you to do the same for the Queen."
"Of course."
The silent Queen gave me a long look, then threw her arms around me, squeezing me to her tightly.
"You must survive, too. You are all I have, Dozy," she told me.
Moments like these reminded me of how young she truly was. I'd helped raise her since she was 6, and I didn't want to be apart any more than she did.
"I will. I swear it."
I released her. "Now go. Don't stop until you're safe." She pulled up the hood of her coat and nodded with a glance at Heracles. I stood back and watched them enter the wall. Our revolution was not yet ready to launch, but we no longer had the luxury of waiting. Turning away from them, my mind went to Tommy. Every maternal instinct in my body was screaming for me to make his rescue my first priority. But Nico wasn't going to let anything happen to him. He probably planned on using our son against me, but he'd never hurt him, or let anyone else near him. These kind of reassurances had to do for now. I had to prepare for the first stage of our rebellion, which left no room for distraction.
"Take care of our son," I texted to Nico.
I didn't wait for his response. With a heavy heart and dread twisting my gut, I dropped the cell phone and smashed it with my heel, then returned to Gus to take up my role as Mama. When the city was safe and the fighting over, the Queen could take her rightful place leading the revolt against the gods. And I'd go back for my son. Chapter 25. Alessandra. A common danger unites even the bitterest enemies. Aristotle. The voices came from the darkness of my mind. At first, I didn't know them, where they came from, or why they spoke to me.
"We are not your enemies."
This one was female. "You have been misled." This one male.
"Destroy us, and you destroy your world. Help us, and we will help you."
More voices, more messages like these continued to whisper into my thoughts. No one gave a name, but the theme was the same across the speakers. Gradually, as the darkness lifted and my slumber slid away, I became aware of myself again. I was cold, lying on what felt like metal, and my head throbbed. The calming sense of amber, sulfur, and other spices soothed my initial fear of not knowing where I was or what had happened. Those freaky memories surfaced when I was about to open my eyes.
"Can you hear them?"
This voice was outside my head. My eyelashes fluttered open. I was lying on my belly on the metal table where I'd been knocked out, staring at the floor through the cutout for my face. Groggy from drugs, intoxicated to the point of dizzy from the fumes, I wasn't able to react how I probably should have.
"Alessandra." "Oh, gods. What now?"
I lifted my head and gasped. The pain drove away the fog, and I stretched back with one wooden arm to touch the part of my head that hurt. They'd shaved a strip of hair away above the back of my head. I couldn't feel what they'd done, but I felt the roughness of a bandage and smelled blood beneath pungent astringent.
Don't bother it. The microchip is fused to your spine.
Someone grasped my hand to keep me from picking at the bandage.
I only have a minute.
Blinking, I sat up and met Lantos's gaze. He steadied me, the sparkle gone from his eyes for the first time since we'd met. Before I could curse him back to the day he was born, he held up the teal gem, a reminder of how he'd threatened Adonis.
I can't call him back. Not yet, but I will soon. In the meantime, you need to make the magistrate believe you're on his side, he said. I don't have time to explain what I've done and why.
You're an asshole. You threatened your own friend.
So you would cooperate. I'd never hurt him. Send him to the monster arena?
In a heartbeat. But he likes it there. He gave a small smile.
My goal has always been the same. This was the only way to reach it, he said without apology. But I am not an ally of the magistrates. He's a means to an end for me. I swore to Adonis I'd never let your fate come to you, and this was the only way to keep that promise.
No part of me believed him sincere, or capable of regret or compassion. If I had any sort of strength, I'd punch him.
Do you hear them? He asked again.
The whispers had faded to the point I couldn't make out the words.
Who are they?
The magistrate needs me, because I'm an ambassador to the gods. They asked a favor of me. They asked for the ability to speak to you as they do me.
So, you put them in my head?
I was having a hard time following anything. I simultaneously wanted to dance and nap, and my headache was so intense behind one eye I was pretty sure I'd vomit if I attempted either.
You were born with the skill to speak to them. I simply lifted the last block in your mind we put to help control your magic. Your memories are fully returned. No trace of my father's magic remains. I did, however, block Adonis. Your connection runs quite deep. I can't have him returning before I'm done.
Adonis will not forgive you so easily. His betrayal of Adonis felt personal, as if he were betraying me. In a way, I knew he was. Adonis swore to protect me and trusted Lantos. I am prepared to confess when the timing is right for him to return.
Regret flickered in Lantos's eyes.
Why are they talking to me? I want them gone from the earth.
You have much to learn about what's really going on.
He stepped back from the table.
And I am out of time.
He retreated to a shadowy corner and became one with it.
Even his lies have lies.
I couldn't imagine how anything ever got done among the members of the Triumvirate, or how I was supposed to trust anything any of them told me. I squinted, then grimaced at the pain. Seconds later, a doctor approached and checked my vitals. I struggled to hear the voices without success.
Any pain? The doctor asked.
You just did brain surgery on me, what do you think? I snapped moodily. He withdrew a syringe from his pocket and injected its contents into me.
The magistrate wants you awake, so no morphine.
This will take the edge off, he said. Its effects were immediate, and I released a sigh as the pain from my right eye receded.
Thanks.
Before he entered the room, I felt him. It was similar to the sense I had about Adonis, yet different as well. This was superficial. Adonis was entwined with me on a primal level, an extension of me and me of him. But the magistrate, he was like a permanent burr in my sock. I didn't like how he felt inside my head. It was unnatural. He didn't belong.
I felt you awaken.
The normally subdued man was borderline excited for once. Cunningness gleamed in his eyes, and his hands were clenching and releasing. I have never experienced Such a connection. Ugh.
Great.
He was studying me closely. I pushed off the table, wobbled, and touched the back of my skull gingerly.
You can see the rainbows, he asked.
Rainbows? He motioned to the area above my head.
Wow.
So the chip and the magic of Dolos had plugged him straight into my brain. Unease trickled through me. Did that mean he could read my mind? Control my thoughts? Just how deep in my head was he?
Yeah, I said. Those are what the Oracle uses to create, destroy, and whatever else she's supposed to do.
How do I create?
I haven't figured that out yet. Seems kind of random or accidental.
Then, how do I destroy? I shifted weight between my feet, not wanting to answer. A streak of pain shot through me, originating in my brain and smashing through my body. I staggered.
So, it works, he said in satisfaction. I had a control mechanism built into the chip. If you disobey, displease, or otherwise refuse to do my bidding, I can punish you until you cooperate.
More pain. I dropped to my knees, gasping. White dots filled my gaze, and my ears rang.
Tell me how to destroy, he ordered quietly.
Okay, I gasped. You just take the rainbows and crush them, or push them into your body if you want them to disappear.
The pain stopped immediately. I struggled to regain myself. When I stood, he was frowning, trying to grip the ribbons above a table.
Perhaps you alone retain this ability, he said and turned to me. Try it. Not yet ready for another round of pain, I obeyed and held out my hand. I took the ribbons above the table he wanted to destroy and crushed them. It crumpled.
Interesting. Although I can see what you do and sense what you do, you alone control your magic, he observed.
Thank the gods for that tiny blessing.
What else can you do?
He faced me again.
That's it, I said, until my trials are over.
This was not your third?
I shook my head.
The queen. Understanding crossed his features, followed by tension. I'm afraid she's made her escape. She had the opportunity to task you. I saw to it at her tea party.
She didn't give you your trial?
No. I lied, and then waited to see if he could sense my deception with the same ease Adonis did.
There is a reason Lantos is here, and she is not, he growled.
Come. Let's send Her Majesty and her divine patroness a message. He motioned to someone from the corner. I almost sighed in relief. So he couldn't read my mind or feel it when I lied. This gave me some wiggle room. My only real challenge, keeping my powers from emerging completely by refusing to carry out the Silent Queen's trial. It should be easy, assuming Cecilia could hang on as long as I needed to figure out how to undo what the magistrate had done to me. Nico emerged from the shadows, and I almost screamed. I felt like crap, and he was not the person I wanted around. Cleon went to the elevator. Nico gripped my arm, and we trailed at my slow pace. My step was unsure. The world was moving a little too fast for me to keep up with. It wasn't until we reached the outside world that my sense began to clear. It was close to midnight and chilly. I shivered in my gown.
Amazing, Cleon breathed.
I lifted my eyes and saw the world once more exploding with life and activity only we could see. The ribbons soothed me. Their movement was gentle and swaying to the point of mesmerizing. A car was waiting, but Cleon appeared lost as he gazed around. It wasn't the ribbons that had my attention, though. It was the smoldering, bombed-out remains of the Silent Queen's villa. The largest on the compound,
Its disappearance was impossible to miss, and ran for half a block. Smoke trickled into the sky. If not for the reassurance she had escaped, I'd be panicking.
"Sir," Nico prodded. Cleon blinked and strode to the car, a small smile on his face. Dread and throbbing pain replaced the giddy euphoria of the caverns, and I slid into the back seat beside him. I ached too much from the abuse of the arena, Mama's people, and impromptu brain surgery to want to speak or move. And I was at a loss of what to think about Adonis still, or his boss, who was turning out to have more sides than a dice. My villa was still standing, which meant Leandra and Mrs. Nettles were hopefully safe. I needed Leandra to know how wide and capable her spy network really was. Could she get word at Theodosia? Could they get me away from Cleon and expel him from my mind? If anything, I had the desire to sleep for about a week. Closing my eyes, I rested my head back against the seat, then hissed as the tender base of my skull erupted into pain. Agitated, I shifted onto my side the best I could. My head pounded too hard for me to find a comfortable position. "I have spent my lifetime studying the Oracle and her powers," Cleon said. Even when I knew he was the supervillain of my life, I was compelled to listen, unable to prevent the tension from sliding out of me. His presence was always so calming, his voice soothing. "I am truly, truly pleased to know I do not have to hurt you, as my predecessors did Cecilia, in order to access your power." He was so good at pretending to be sincere, I almost believed him. Straightening in my seat, I studied him in the dimness of what streetlights managed to penetrate the car. "You want to open the portal again?" I asked. "Not exactly. I want to do more than return the world to the way it's been for centuries. What more is there?" "There are no limits to what I can do now that I can control you." He glanced at me, a trace of a smile on his face. It was cold, calculating. The first time I'd seen malice in his otherwise expressionless features. "So, world domination?" I asked. "Something like that. With your power at my disposal, I can crush the gods beneath my heel, and anyone else who opposes me. They will do my will, or suffer." It sounded a little like what the Queen had wanted, except her goal was to make the world a better place after she exacted her revenge. I had a sense the magistrate's ambition was more self-serving. I said nothing, whether it was from knowing the man beside me was a monster behind a kind face and warm personality, or the drugs. I was nauseated. The streets were clear, the military lining every intersection in riot gear and flanked by armored vehicles. I had never seen Nico's men inside the city before this, but they were everywhere. "I declared martial law behind the wall," Cleon said. "I heard rumors of the Silent Queen's plans, her underground army." I wanted to ask about Sisa stepping aside so easily, but didn't. Adonis was gone, and the Supreme Priest was playing a dangerous game to get what he wanted. I hoped, prayed, one of them knew what they were doing, giving in to a man like Cleon and turning on the Queen. I stared out the window, heart quickening. I wasn't about to reveal anything of the Silent Queen's plans. "I think I need a long nap," I said in the tense quiet. "I'm not feeling so well." "You've had a trying few days," he agreed. "I promise you time to rest, after a simple demonstration of your power."
"Demonstration? You want me to destroy something?"
"I do. No one has to know your powers are limited. This will convince them otherwise."
I tensed, unable to imagine what his target was. He admitted to wanting to rule the world. It wasn't like he'd hold back now that he had the shot to do it. We were silent the rest of the trip. He was taking us toward the wall, but to an area unreachable by Mama's people. We entered a secure military base and traveled through soldier-packed streets to the foot of the wall.
rather than carve out stairs inside the wall as Theodosia's people had done. The military had created an elevator running to the top of the wall, protected by no less than a dozen heavily armed soldiers. We got out of the car. The guards gave away once they spotted Cleon and saluted Nico. Nico strode through them and the barriers between us and the wall. I trailed him, limping, eyeing the heavily armed men uneasily. There was pretty much no chance of me escaping the demonstration, unless I let Cleon kill me through the control mechanism he'd implanted in my brain. I didn't see him letting me die when he wanted to control me. Cleon and a man with stars on his collar spoke quietly and followed. They grew quiet as we all climbed into the elevator. The ride was too fast for me. My stomach turned, and I steadied myself against the cool metal wall. The voices were louder, though still hard to understand. One voice, a male one, seemed to be the only one whose words I could make out. "You must stop him. Let us help you." I didn't know how to respond, or even if I should. The gods were supposed to be my enemies. The priests at my orphanage believed so. The Silent Queen swore as much, and even Leandra still believed the gods to be against everything the old ways stood for. The more I learned and experienced of the outside world, the less I truly understood it. A man like Cleon had to be stopped, but so did Lantos, who was willing to sacrifice me and everyone else to exact the revenge of the Titans. And the Holy Wars? The condition the world outside this wall lived in? Who exactly was an ally to me? Because I wasn't seeing how any of these people were remotely near my side of the fence. This time, when my head ached, it wasn't from the surgery. It was because I was once more feeling like a victim of my circumstances, rather than the powerful oracle I was supposed to be. We reached the top of the wall and stepped off the elevator. Soldiers lined the city and opened sides, as far as I could see in both directions. DC and the surrounding areas glowed to my right, while the darkness, all I ever saw of the rest of the world, was to my left. Nico led us to a point on the wall and waved away the soldiers standing guard. I joined him, admiring the lights of the city beneath Nyx's sky, and how the ribbons seemed to dance among them. What were we doing here? Why did I have the feeling I never should have left my forest? "Shut up and do what you're told, kid," Nico said quietly for my ears only, before he stepped back for Cleon to replace his presence at my side. "Beautiful, is it not?" Cleon asked, a smile on his features as he viewed the city and surrounding areas. "The most powerful city in the world. Perhaps the most powerful the world has ever known. Right at your feet." The lump forming in my throat was too large for me to swallow. "Reports indicate the Silent Queen has focused her underground army there." He pointed towards an area that included the central temple of Artemis. I studied it. I had no idea if he were right or not. I had seen a small part of the underground city, but didn't know DC enough to understand where it was in correlation to the above-ground world. The area he indicated, though, was also residential. I counted at least 4 apartment buildings, a neighborhood of townhouses, police station, and a park among several quiet streets lined with businesses surrounding the temple. "That's where we'll start. Destroy it all." My eyes flew up to him. "You can't be serious." Cleon met my gaze. I saw no emotion or compassion in his features, and recoiled. How I was ever convinced he was kind or worthy or anything good was beyond me. None of these people could be trusted. Won't that anger Artemis?" I managed. "Artemis favored the queen and her high priestess, which is why this will be a demonstration to both sides." He motioned towards it, supreme satisfaction on his face. "Destroy everything for a 5-block radius from the central temple." I couldn't believe I'd heard the words. This had to be a nightmare,
another alternate reality like the one Namazuni created. For an agonizing moment, I stood shocked, too surprised and horrified to move. "No," I said finally. "I'm not a monster like you. I won't let you turn me into one." Agony pierced my brain and I staggered, dropping to my knees as the pain spread rapidly, crippling me. I could barely breathe and wasn't able to move or see, not with the paralyzing pain stabbing me in the brain.
"I gave you an order, Oracle," Cleon said softly.
"There are people," I gasped out.
"If we are to be taken seriously, this needs to be done."
I barely registered the words. The pain stopped as suddenly as it started. I shook from head to toe. "I don't care. I won't do it."
"If you refuse me, I'll put you on the wall next to Cecilia."
"Survive," Adonis had told me. But if faced with knowing it meant hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent people died, would he tell me to do whatever it took? Because I didn't think I could live with hurting someone innocent. He killed without restraint, but I wasn't him. I wasn't like any of these people.
"What's your answer?" Cleon demanded.
"Never," I whispered. I was better off diving off the wall to my death than doing what he said.
"Let me try," Nico said. Nothing the asshole could say was going to change my mind. With what strength I could muster, I managed to peel myself off the ground and sit. Even this movement left me dizzy.
Nico crouched beside me, close enough for his body heat to warm me and for our discussion to be private. Not that I was going to listen to a word the asshole said. He tilted my chin up to meet his dark gaze. My original captor, my first betrayer, the man who showed me how different the real world was, appeared grim. "My son's name is Tommy. He has a brilliant, strong, idealistic mother who will stop at nothing to serve the greater good. She's a true visionary, one who would sacrifice anything and anyone, including you, me, and her own son, to see her goals realized," he began. "I'm a pragmatist. I don't care about the world she wants to create for our son tomorrow. I care about him surviving the one we live in today. It's why I serve the magistrate. There's no second guessing who's had the upper hand here for quite some time. I'm always going to be on the winning team, because I'm not willing to sacrifice my son. I do whatever it takes to win, and he stays alive."
Startled by his honesty, I found myself listening mere minutes after swearing I wouldn't.
"She and I are alike in that way," he continued. "I'll do anything, kill anyone for my greater purpose, for my Tommy. What you need to figure out real quick, what's your greater calling, and what will you sacrifice to ensure you're able to see the day when it becomes reality? When what and who you love are no longer in danger?"
I knew the answer the moment he asked the question. It was instinctual, a whisper, perhaps from the depths of me that were tied to Adonis. Nico's damning pep talk left me quaking.
"But those people are innocent," I whispered, tears pricking my eyes. "How do you live with knowing what you've done?"
"It's easy. I take one look at my son, and I realize there is no cost I'm not willing to pay to ensure he lives."
He touched the exposed double Omega birthmark visible on my arm. "I have a feeling this mark means you're not just another oracle, and Cleon seems to think you're the strongest oracle since the first who opened the portal between worlds. You aren't destined for the same fate as Cecilia. You're destined for the end of days, whatever form that takes, whoever's days those are."
"Survive. My purpose, to restore the old ways, to end the tyranny of gods and men alike, made sense for the first time since leaving the forest. Without me, the world was stuck with Cleon. Without me, the people would continue to suffer through the holy wars.
without me, the future of everyone I loved was so very, very dark. I also know that today, I'm on the winning team. But tomorrow, this might change. Nothing you do tonight will stop Theodosia or the Queen from whatever their plans are. By now, they're safely out of the city, or so deeply hidden no one can touch them, he added. Knowing you kill tonight will have a better life living under Cleon's rule than dying quietly in their sleep. If anything, you're doing them the same favor I did your priests. I flinched at the reminder of him mercy-killing the people who helped raise me. Nico's gaze was steady, and I began to understand who he was better than I did before. So I ask again, what's your greater purpose, kid? What would you do to see it happen? Tears rolled down my face. A week ago, I'd been desperate to leave the forest and eager to do what I thought I was supposed to. Help humanity return to a time where people were happy and free. I had no idea what price would be exacted to do what was right. Several days later, I was contemplating the mass murder of thousands, just so I'd one day have the chance to change the world for the better for anyone who survived the gods, Cleon, and me. Nico drew a breath. I also know there's something going on between you and Adonis. I hate the man, but I know he'd tell you this just as Dozy would. There is no tomorrow without you, kid. There's no future where gods and men are not at war, where the human race has a remote chance in Hades of surviving. If you care about anyone, Adonis or otherwise, you'll do whatever you have to today, so you can save their lives tomorrow. Wrong person, right message. I wanted to weep. My resistance yielded the moment he put it into perspective. The thought of Adonis in danger was as crippling as the pain. The bond between us ran deeper than even I suspected. How had I missed what he was to me? How had I not seen it from the first meeting? Your name is seared into my soul. His claim had stunned me, and it was only now sinking into me how deeply he felt. He would do anything for me without hesitation, and had told me to do the same. Survive. At all costs. I'll do you the favor of clearing out any other area Cleon wants destroyed, if you have time to give me a heads up. That's all I can offer, Nico said. You need to decide if those you love are worth you choosing to be on the winning team. If I followed in Cecilia's footsteps, I'd never be able to do what I had to. But choosing this path meant I, too, would bear the taint of this war. I, too, was destined to become a different kind of monster. The worst kind, if I had to guess. With the power of a god, and controlled by a maniac with delusions of ruling over gods and men. Nico rose. You have 2 minutes before we drag you back down to the caverns to join Cecilia. My gaze went to the city. I ached for Adonis to be here, or for Heracles to guide me. I ached knowing I judged both of them for what they'd done to others, when they didn't have the luxury of a choice. Mostly, I hurt knowing Nico was right, as had Adonis been when he'd claimed I'd have to risk unleashing the apocalypse in order to become who everyone thought I was. I was made to believe an oracle with incredible power could face a god, but only just learning that it took a monster to face another monster. I had to survive, because someone had to defend my world, no matter what that made me. Forgive me, Artemis, I murmured and climbed to my feet. With a deep breath, I looked back at Nico. His expression was emotionless. Then faced the city again. I spread out both hands and gathered the ribbons, herding them together so I could grip them better. Choking back a sob, with tears blurring my vision, I crushed them between my hands. The ground beneath the wall shook, and the area I targeted began collapsing in upon itself. Artemis's pristine white temple went dark. and then crumbled. It was followed by the apartment buildings full of people I'd never meet, the school and police station, the businesses and townhomes. Everything and everyone was turned to rubble instantly and toppled into the sinkhole forming beneath them. "Incredible," the magistrate whispered, awed by the sight of destruction. "You are forgiven," came the soft, sad whisper of Artemis from the depths of my mind. I dropped my hands, not caring about the hot tears sliding down my cheeks, or anything else in the world. The raw pain inside me was worse than anything Cleon could inflict upon me. It stemmed as much from what I'd just done, as knowing this was just the beginning. To survive, I had to become a monster like everyone else around me. To save my world, I just might have to destroy it first. This has been Omega, Omega Series Book 1, written by Lizzie Ford, narrated by Shiromi Arserio. Copyright 2015 by Sarah Edmondson / Lizzie Ford. Production copyright 2016 by Sarah Edmondson / Lizzie Ford.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.